Hear the sound of hearts returning to you. We want to see Jesus lifted high. See? Whose scarf are we wearing? Whose flag are we flying? And as we thought over the last few weeks, or last week, as we started into the book of Haggai, a little question for you. Confession. Who remembers? No, hands up high. Hands up high. Come on. Okay, the Tufty Club. Okay. We've got a confession here. I was at a meeting at Church House during the week, and we thought actually something similar here last week, and I want to test you. But in the middle of the presentation, one of the chaps was doing, he put up the Tufty Club badge. And I can remember in Orangefield Boys' School, there was a group of lads. Again, the people who've put their hands up will also remember Crombie coats with the little red hankies and oxblood Dr. Martin boots and Skinner jeans. But there was a group of lads who were the Hoods in Orangefield Secondary School. And they all wore Tufty Club badges because they were the Tufty Club. They walked with a TV under each arm. What was the slogan? What was the slogan for the Tufty Club? Because that's what it was all about. Brilliant. Is that Valerie? Stop, look, and listen. The Tufty Club was Tufty was crossing the road. When you went across the road, you had to stop, look both ways, listen for any traffic, and then when it was safe to cross, you crossed the road. That was the challenge. Stop, look, and listen, says Tufty. Stop, look, and listen, says Haggai. That's what we thought last week. Consider your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber so that my house may be built. A commitment to work. Why should the house be built? That I may take pleasure in it. And you're saying it's not time for God's house to be built. You're living in your paneled houses, but God's house remains a ruin. We're not talking about bricks and mortar. We're talking about our heart attitude to building the kingdom of God in our lives as a community of people. Stop, look, and listen. We're just jumping on, and it's great to have Mark and Sue from Fermoy with us this morning. Sorry that you heard this last year as the devotions in the Fermoy team for the week, but it's lovely to have you with us this morning. But the second part of chapter 1, just three or four verses that just build on the challenge that came, what we thought about last week. But these verses talk about a commitment as a community. And I know I bang on about community and they keep me going in house about it. But we need to be a community of God's people together. And I know Adrian won't mind me saying, but that is what we're trying to model with the music. That we have different thoughts and different styles, but we're one community working together, a community of God's people. Again, open scripture, please. Keep it on your lap, and let's just step through the verses quickly. First part of verse 12, 12a, says this. Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. So Haggai stood up and spoke the words that God had placed in his heart, and that's all right. No, the people took the words and obeyed the words. The wise and foolish builders, the man who hears God's voice, God's word, and puts it into practice. After 16 years of passivity, they had returned, when Cyrus allowed them to return from Persia, who had taken over from the Babylonians, and they had allowed them to return, and he gave them the tools and the wherewithal to do it. But something happened that stopped them, and for 16 years, they just had a wee snooze in their deck chairs. Well, in fact, they didn't. They built their own houses and lived the lap of luxury, but left the place of worship a mess. But Haggai speaks, and the people respond in obedience. More than that, in reverence. And I think this is something we really need to catch hold of today. Verse 12b, the people feared the Lord. What does that mean? Does it mean that they were afraid of God? No, and maybe yes at the same time. But there was their heart's reverence, their focus was changed. Something happened. You know the little story, and it's often talked about in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, when Lucy's about the lion Aslan, is he a friendly lion? And Mr. Beaver says, of course he's not, but he is good. But he's a lion. I have a book in my shelf called Jesus is Your Best Mate. Is he? Or is he more than that? How do we treat the Lord? What is our focus on who Jesus is? Sometimes we can be far too familiar. But Jesus is our friend who sticks closer than a brother. But yet he's also God in heaven, immortal, invisible, the God only wise, in light, inaccessible, hid from our eyes. How do we get this balance of obedience and reverence? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says, and actually interestingly, in Proverbs 1, 7, 9, verse 10, and in Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord, the healthy respect for him, is the beginning of wisdom and the foundation of how we build our lives. You see, so often, we want to make God in our image. We want to make God in a way that suits us, and that image invariably will be distorted. It will be twisted. It will be wrong, because God has made us in his image. So let's not try to flip that on its head, to live in reverence for him. Look at verse 13. It's what Ian was bringing out this morning with the children. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, give this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. Very simple. I am with you. And yes, the Lord is everywhere, but here there was just that impression that Ian was talking about at the end, that God is there to give you strength and encouragement and just help you, shore you up and drive you on. What it made me think about was the personal trainer. You can't see the speech bubbles. Come on, let's have 5 sets left. Let's go. Don't slow down. Push harder. And the wee bubble from the girl's voice or the girl's mouth is, you can't be serious. When you think of a fitness instructor, what do you think? You're done when I say you're done. And I came across this image and thought, you know, for me, that image just picks this up, and that God is there beside us saying, look, I'm with you. Come on. Come on. We can get another one done. Get another rep. Or maybe you're climbing a mountain. Come on, let's just but it's gentle encouragement. It's not squealing and screaming at you, but it's encouraging you along. And actually what's interesting is these words, I am with you, actually pick up on a prophecy in Isaiah 43. Before the people were taken to Babylon, and then Babylon was taken over by Persia, the words were given to Isaiah that God's people, a remnant, would return. And also, the prophet Zechariah, speaking at the same time as Haggai, has these words, for Zerubbabel, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. He says, I am with you, not beside you like a personal instructor, but within you, to give you strength to move on and to serve me. Presence of God. Verse 14, and I've just used the word turbulence. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. And they came and began work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. Turbulence. So the Lord stirred up the whole remnant of the people. Question. Do we need stirred up in Ballywillan? Does the Lord need to stir us? Ezekiel 37, the valley of dry bones, that God's breath came upon the people, or on the bones in the valley, and they came together, and the Lord breathed his life into the bones and stirred them up so that they became a vast army. Do we need that? Have we, like the people in Haggai's time, become tired and apathetic? Have we lost hope and lost heart? And the Lord needs to stir us up. I know certainly that's what I need. Because it is so, so easy to just go through the motions. But here's the thing. It might be an adventure, but it also makes me nervous. To be stirred up and to be moved on to something in some place that you've never been before can be frightening. To be trusting God for something that we're maybe just not 100% sure of makes me nervous. But also, is it something that we need? And does the Lord need to unsettle us? I'm told, I'm not an expert, but that an eagle, to teach the little chicks to fly, stirs them out of the nest, throws them off the cliff face, and the wee birds going mad. But the mummy eagle soars above the chick, hoping that it'll get its wings going. And if it gets in trouble, swoops in underneath and picks it up. On its pinions is the word. And we actually read these beautiful words, and they're words that are challenging me at the moment. The Lord is like an eagle that stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions. Do we need thrown out of the nest in Ballywillan as a body of God's people? Do we need thrown out of the nest personally in our walk with Jesus? Have we become safe and comfortable and the Lord needs to unsettle the nest? But also, I am with you, declares the Lord. He's like the mummy eagle hovering over us. And if we get a wee bit out of our depth or in trouble, sorry, mixed my analogies, will come in and pick us up on his shoulders. Isn't that a beautiful picture? But it's a picture of turbulence, of faith and fear, maybe at the same time, of adventure and apprehension, but of being uncomfortable. And maybe we need to be made uncomfortable. A commitment as a community. The first few verses here. Let's just jump on. The second part of verse 14 and verse 15, counting the cost. We read the end of verse 14. The spirit of the whole remnant of the people, they came and began work in the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. And on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. But the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. And the picture here is this. If you look at the dates at the start of chapter 1 and the dates at the end of chapter 1, there are 3 weeks of, well, inactivity. What? Well, not really quite sure. But there are 3 weeks, 23 days, that are unaccounted for. What happened in those days? The meager harvest was being brought in. But is there something going on here about counting the cost? Before we can start work, we need to stop and take stock of where we're at. Again, for us personally, and as a community of God's people and church, do we need to do this? Psalm 139, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. So for the people in Haggai's time, before they actually started working, it seemed that there was a time of counting the cost. And also some of the commentators say this. There was also maybe a time to clear the clutter. To clear the clutter. Because, well, the temple site was a bomb site. And they needed to remove the debris. They needed to take inventory of what they had, because maybe it seems a lot of the wood that was meant to be used for it was now in the people's houses. And they needed to plan the work. And so another question, personally, what are the things that cause us to stumble? What is the clutter, spiritual clutter, that's in our lives? Things that cause us to stumble and cause God's work in our hearts to not happen the way it should be. And for us, as a community of God's people, what is the debris or the clutter in Ballywillan? Are there broken relationships that need healed? Bitter roots that have gone deep that need weeded out? Maybe just a sense of loss of purpose? I don't know, I don't want to feel as if I'm scolding us, but I believe this is the text. Is God's house being built? Is God being honored that he can take pleasure in this place and in his people? And it would seem the people stopped to take inventory, to search their hearts, to count the cost, and to clear the clutter. Challenge of chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Is it time for you to be living in your paneled houses? Say, this is not talking about a building. It's talking about a spiritual kingdom in our hearts and lives. But verses 12 to 15 is the confidence of, I am with you, declares the Lord. The confirmation that he will lead the people forward, that he will give them strength, that he will dwell with them. The people obeyed the Lord. They revered the Lord. He says, I am with you. But he also stirred them up and moved them on as we finish. And it's funny, Karen was saying, Karen always checks my PowerPoint to make sure my spelling's right. These were the words that Lorna shared on Sunday morning, or on Monday evening past at PW. That God speaks to our head. The people obeyed the voice of the Lord. It's the word of God. That he stirred their hearts. So the Lord stirred up the spirits of the people, the spirit of God within the people. But it affected their hands to the work of God. And they began the work on the house of the Lord Almighty. Putting God first. Haggai chapter 1. So it's about two chapters with 40 verses, but has so much, so much to say to us. Folks, I just want to leave maybe a few moments of quietness. Adrian's going to lead us as we sing, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. And again, that idea of the fear of the Lord, reverence for Him, that God calls us together to commit as a community of God's people to the work. But He asks us to count the cost and to clear the clutter. So let's literally be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. And we will, maybe let's just stand again to change our positions as we sing this, but sing it reverently, sing it prayerfully, as we worship together.